Please turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we'll be considering the next 15 minutes the matter of looking at the perfect gift. We looked this morning, we saw that the gifts were stolen in our play. And so we're going to look at this matter of gift and what is the perfect gift. But let's bow in prayer as we begin this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we look to your word, may we find help and hope to help us this Christmas. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus means to us. And maybe there's someone here today, Father, that has not opened that gift, has not received the gift of eternal life that is offered by our Lord Jesus Christ. May today be the day. May you guide us in our thinking. May you help me as I speak, and each person as they listen, that we would respond properly to the word. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Looking at the perfect gift. What is the perfect gift? What do you give to someone who has everything they really need? Well, here's some ideas for you. I'd like to give you some ideas if you want to give some presents for someone that you don't know what to give them. How about one of the coolest gadgets, latest gadgets that may be out? I know a lot of you like to go to the tech department, and it's hard to keep up with all that's going on. How about the coolest fashion? For you ladies, here's some ideas for you for the coolest fashions. How about the hottest toy? I have to go to my oldest son as with my grandchildren to find out what is going on in the toy world these days. Not up on those things. Or a video game, the most popular video game that's out there. How about the baddest cordless tool for your father or your husband or your dad? Yeah, Tom says, yeah, go for it. The best vacation getaway. Maybe this is the time to dream about that. Today's weather doesn't make you dream about that too much, but in a few days, we'll be getting some weather that's not acceptable at this time of year. How about the sweetest ride? Maybe that's something you need to think about. Or the ultimate gift package of the 12 days of Christmas for your true love at the cost of $34,000. So if you want to get that, that'd be something very unique to give, wouldn't it? What makes the perfect gift? I've got a couple ideas that tie in with this particular passage. What makes the perfect gift? Well, it's given at the right time. It's given at the right time, not too late, not too early, and it's for sure not missed. My family always teases me. When I buy a gift for my family, I want to give it whenever I buy it. And so they always know that I just can't wait. I've got to give it to them right away. But not too early, not too late, and for sure not to miss the day when we're to give it. So first of all, it's given at the right time. Second, it's an appropriate gift. It's not something that's broken down. It's not something that is cheap, unless that's all you've got. A little token at least is better than nothing. It's safe. It's age appropriate. It's thought out. Okay, what should I give to this particular person? So it's given at the right time. It's given as an appropriate gift, and it's given for the right reason. I remember as I bought toys for my kids, sometimes I have to admit that I would buy something that I would enjoy playing with too. And some of you probably do as well, all right? But it's given for the right reason, really. That's ultimately the mark of a good or perfect gift. That it's for the benefit of the children or the other person. It's given to bring them joy. It matches the interest of the other person, not just what I want to play with them. And it's usually something that we hope that they need. The problem with the gifts that we give, the problem with the gifts that were in our play today, is that they can be stolen, they can rust, they can wear out, be broken, or get out of style. You know, my kids, it's really embarrassing when they want to come to some kind of like old, the 50s day or the 60s day or the 70s day, they go to my closet and they pull out something. I say, Dad, this is just right for us today. You know, well, the problem with our gifts, again, they wear out. It's contrasted with the things that really last. And that's what the play brought out for us very vividly, that Jesus provides something that lasts forever. It doesn't rust, wear out, break, go out of style, and it can never be stolen if we lay up treasures in heaven. Jesus Christ is the best gift ever given, and that's really what our focus is this morning. And so Galatians chapter 4, you can follow along in your Bibles. I'd like to read verses 4 through 7. It's not normally a passage that we would consider at this time of year, but it's a wonderful passage. Maybe for the first time you'll consider it. And it really has some very important things for us to be reminded about. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The outline for this particular talk this morning is this. Jesus came at the perfect time. Jesus came as the perfect gift. And Jesus came for the perfect reason. So let's consider those for just a moment. The first one, Jesus came at the perfect time. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. That is a tremendous truth. In that little phrase, the fullness of time had come, it really spells out for us that God has a timetable that is just perfect for us. The expression, the fullness of time, speaks of something that is complete or fully developed or full term. Like a ripe apple on an apple tree, ready to be picked, its fullness of time. A mother who is full term in her pregnancy and is feeling the labor pains and ready to deliver a baby, fullness of time. This phrase describes a moment in history when all things came to place, came together, the stage was perfectly set, and God sent His Son. This was not by chance or by accident. God, in His perfect timetable, sent His Son. And we learn this throughout the whole Bible. We learn it from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the Old Testament about God's sense of timing. It says, and you're familiar with this passage. I'll start it out and you'll know what I'm talking about. It says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. And it goes on and tells us about a time for everything. And then verse 11 says this, He has made everything beautiful in its time. God is never too late and never early. He's always on time. When you look through the life of Christ later on as He came and then He was lived out His life and began His public ministry, you'll notice that many times He uses that phrase, it's not my time yet. In fact, as He's talking to His earthly mother, Mary, in John chapter 2, Jesus said, my time has not yet come. He responds to others later in John 7 when He says, the right time for me has not yet come. But for you, any time is right. On another occasion in Mark 1, Jesus gets the green light from God the Father, and He says, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. So throughout His ministry, He kept saying those. John 17, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified in you. The Apostle Paul picks up the same theme of God's timing in Romans 5, and he says this, listen, Romans 5, 6. Just at the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Looking ahead to the return of Christ, Paul says in Ephesians 1, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fullness. So God has a sense of timing, and it's always perfect. Time is one of the gifts that He's given to us. We need to use our time wisely. But the clock never controls God. God is in charge of the clock. While He is above time, He is working everything out according to His divine date book. In the fullness of time. When the fullness of time had come. Not only do we see God's timing in it, but we see how the world events came together. World history, all the events pointed to this particular time. The Roman culture with its Roman system of roads that facilitated travel. The culture with the Greek culture and the language, it helped facilitate this particular spread of the good news. So all the preparation by God, politically, culturally, socially, internationally, and the religious world all came together, all to contribute to create the appropriate context for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea is that everything came together for God to make a visit to this world in the person of His Son. Our Christmas plans are often helter-skelter. We're always in a hurry about this time of the year. But God came at the right time. He moved into action. When the time itself was pregnant and ready to deliver, God sent forth His Son. One of the most fascinating things about this particular time, about the events that were going on, is the last one there on this list, the prophecies of the Old Testament. Many of the Old Testament prophets predicted the events surrounding the birth of Christ and His life and death. Let me give you a few of them. In Matthew chapter 1, in fact, if you've got your Bibles, hold your place here in Galatians and look at Matthew chapter 1. And here it talks about the time when Joseph was approached by the angel. Joseph was ready to put Mary aside, to divorce Mary, because he found out she was with child. He was confused. This ought not to be. She was a virgin. And so it tells us there in our text before us in Matthew 1 and verse 20, "But he considered these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel." And so that was a quote from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, some 700 years before, had predicted that the Lord would be born of a virgin. We see many other events surrounding the birth of Christ. The prophecy of the town that Jesus was to be born in. Micah 5:2 predicted 700 years before the coming of Christ that the birth would take place in a little town of Bethlehem. And you can see how the events that were going on at the time, that the one who was in charge at that time, he said, "Let's take a census." And so Joseph and Mary had to go from Nazareth, 60 miles away to Bethlehem, a decree made by a man in Rome some 1,500 miles away, and it all came down to fulfill what the prophet Micah had predicted 700 years earlier. Again, it shows the perfection of God's timing. The ruler Herod, that was to kill all the babies, he ordered the killing of the babies from birth to 2 years of age. It was predicted by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31:15, 600 years before the birth of Christ. And yet it tells us about this particular occasion, and Matthew 2 records that. The prophecy of going to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath was predicted in Hosea chapter 1. And on it goes. It reminds us again, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. I was reading in a book by Dr. Peter Stoner, and he was saying that the odds of even 8 of these prophecies coming to fulfillment in one person, the odds of it are like 10 to the 17th power. Now you may say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it's kind of like if you were to take in the state of Texas and put quarters there 2 feet high over the whole state, And then you were to drop a quarter with a dot on it down in the middle of the state of Texas. And then you were to take someone, blindfold them, stir up all these quarters in the whole state, 2 feet deep over the whole state, and you were to go and say, someone blindfolded, go and find that dot, that quarter with the dot on it. That is the odds of all of the prophecies of the Old Testament coming to fulfillment, all at the perfect time for the life of Jesus Christ, for the birth, life, and death. Folks, God's timing is perfect. Would you agree? Are you still with me? Are you still awake? Okay. That is impressive. So Jesus came at the perfect time. Second, Jesus came as the perfect gift. Jesus came as the perfect gift. Notice in our text before us in Galatians, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. There's a lot here that we could be talking about here, but the key thing is that Jesus came. There was no tricks, no faults, no deceit, no sin, no prejudice. He was the best, the perfect one, the one and only. God sent his perfect Son. And there are three phrases. Notice in our text before us, I'll back up one slide. In this slide, God sent his Son. It's referring to his Son, the one who existed from eternity past with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The triune God, he sent his Son. Born of a woman, it speaks of born of a virgin. Born with all the challenges and struggles and trials that you and I face. Born, so he's fully God, sent forth his Son. Born of a woman, fully man. And born under the law. Not only was Jesus a man, but he was a Jewish man, circumcised on the eighth day, as all Jewish males were instructed to do. He grew up in a Jewish home, reading the Torah, praying to his heavenly Father, attending synagogue, faithfully fulfilling as no one ever had done before and no one has ever done since. He perfectly fulfilled all the law. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. So he was the perfect, perfect gift. Jesus came for the perfect reason. Just as we were talking about a moment ago, when we give gifts, sometimes we do it with a little bit of selfish reason in mind. I want to play with that gift. I want to drive that gift. I want to use that gift. Jesus came for the express reason for us. He came because we had a problem. We had a twofold problem. We needed to be redeemed, and we needed to be in the right relationship. And it's beautiful here. When you think about the fact that he did not come to promote self, he left heaven and became a servant, even to the point of death, Philippians 2 says. He came for the benefit of us. He came to bring us hope and joy. He came to meet man's greatest needs. And if you look in this text again, there's two things. He came in order to first redeem us, to set us free from our slavery. The term redeem has the idea of to buy out of the slave market of sin with a price. The price of his blood. He bought us out of the slave market of sin. We were slaves to sin, and he set us free. And then it goes on in our text and says, not only to redeem us, but to make us sons. Folks, that is an amazing thing, that Christ came to set us free from slavery and then to make us his child. Those are two fantastic things. From slave to son, that is an amazing thing. The perfect reason why Christ came for us. Our son, our oldest boy, is about 31 years of age. Is that right, Judy? Okay, I think that's right. All right. Our oldest son is 31 and he has three children. The first two are from them. And their third one, they picked up from the hospital when he was 2 days old. And so he is a foster little baby, little Aiden. And I can't wait to get my hands on him here in a few days. And Aiden, at the time when he turns 1 year of age, they will determine whether he can be adopted at that point and become their son. So this kind of comes alive to me as I see and as I hold little Aiden in my hands. I think of what God has done for us. We were not in the family, and He brought us into the family of God and has given us all the rights and privileges as His son, as His child. That is an awesome, awesome thing. And so, from slavery to freedom, and from out of the family to a part of His family, God is so good and so gracious. So Jesus came at the perfect time. He came as the perfect gift. And He came for the perfect reason. And I was just wondering today, how will you respond to this gift that has been offered to you? Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as the perfect gift, and He came to offer salvation to every one of us. But we need to come to the place where I say it's as easy as ABC, to admit that we need Him as our Savior, to believe that He is, in fact, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and to call upon Him to save us. So maybe some of you are here today and you don't have never really considered this before. That perfect gift is offered to you. Don't let it just sit out there available to you, but unwrapped. Take that gift. Receive it by faith. Not through church membership, not through baptism, not through doing good deeds, but through faith. Reach out and receive that gift that has been offered to you. But maybe you have received that gift. After you've received it, there's some things we ought to think about this Christmas. We ought to be thankful. In fact, the last song was so neat. As you think about the response, Jesus, thank You. We praise You for Your gift of salvation. Know Him more. That's why we have His Word. It's relevant for our lives. It tells us how to live. It tells us what is acceptable to Him. And we need to know Him better and live for Him. Live for Him. It shows that the message that we've received, we really believe to the point we live in accordance with it. And finally, share it with others. We have good news. We have the perfect gift. And so I'd like to thank again Dawn and the whole gang of kids for doing such a great job of reminding us what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus. And so as you unwrap your gifts, and if you know whatever the gift may be to your family, from your family, think about the greatest gift that's ever been given and be thankful this Christmas and be willing to share it with others. Let's stand and I'll close our time together. I want to thank you for your participation, for your support of our kids. Dawn, the kids will be available. They're all over the place. Okay, I was going to just say. All right. Well, just as you see the kids, be sure to thank them and be sure to tell them they did a great job. And again, let's give a hand to Dawn for leading us in such a... All right, let's close our time in prayer, then you're dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You so much for reaching down to us when we were in bondage to sin and under Satan's control. You reached down in Your grace and Your mercy through the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect God, fully man. And He lived out a perfect life for us so that He could sacrifice Himself on our behalf, die in our place so that we could have freedom and so that we could be called sons. Lord, may we not take that for granted. May it change the way we live. And may it change the direction of our lives. And give us a joy of sharing that message with others. Thank You for this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.